Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying the ghost stories here on this show, be sure to check out our true crime podcast called True Crime Today. Search it wherever you download podcasts. Myself, Carol Hughes, Stacy Cole, all discuss the latest in many true crime stories, dark, disturbing, and sometimes just plain crazy. Check it out, True Crime Today. Search and press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Here's a preview of one of this week's episodes of True Crime Today. A 7-Eleven employee cuts off a customer's hand with a samurai sword. Then a retired cop shot by a wife accused him of molesting kids at her daycare now faces criminal charges. And a student jailed for 38 years for random stabbing sprees and murder. Those stories and more today on True Crime Today.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today starts now.
That indeed it does. Welcome to the program. And if you like the show, be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the show. What's going on?
You know, one thing I don't ever want associated with me in any way is the random stabbing attack.
Yeah.
You said that just now. It gave me the jeebs.
And there's
random stabbing attack. Like, I'm just going to get a knife and just randomly start stabbing people.
There's people that are acting out Grand Theft Auto, the video game, is what I'm my theory is. Because really, I'm not an anti-video game person. I have that game and I think it's fun to play. But I can also tell the difference between doing that and a game and in real life. And I think there's something that's happened here where there's been a generation that has been playing these games far too young before some of those things were developed as you can do this or you can't do that. And then sometimes when people have these kind of psychotic breaks that they have, I think they sometimes revert to the memories of playing Grand Theft Auto because that's what some of these things really seem to emulate.
Well, and I think, too, that, you know, there's one thing playing the game. Mm-hmm. Then there's another thing with the online community and these people are playing against people they don't know. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, kind of animosity between that player and this player.
Yeah.
And it's like created this whole world within the world of that game.
Well, that's the metaverse that we should all be excited about.
Can't wait.
Because it looks so much better than the real one. So this happened when I was in Hawaii, actually. Read about it getting out of a 7-Eleven, to be complete. Honestly, here's what happened. We were not on this island. This was a different island. But I ran into a 7-Eleven and was picking some stuff up for everybody, the kids in the car. And then what happened is my girlfriend texts me. And she said, can I tell Harper about this news story? And my dad doesn't care. My dad doesn't care. And I said, that's fine. And it was about this sword attack at a 7-Eleven while we were at a 7-Eleven.
Oh, now that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was really kind of freaky. But so there's a guy. This was on Waikiki, and he remains in custody as part of an attempted murder investigation. Incident took place on Friday, July 22nd at the 7-Eleven on Kalakaua Avenue. The Honolulu Police Department officer who arrested Jason Walker had his account of the incident filed on Monday, July 25th. Court documents revealed that the suspect is a 7-Eleven employee. So this wasn't like two customers going at it. This was an employee of the 7-Eleven that lashed out at the customer.
Oh.
Yeah. According to court documents, the victim had a verbal argument with Walker inside 7-Eleven. Walker then retrieved his sword and exited the back door of the store. The victim exited the front entrance of the store where Walker met him. An argument led to Walker gripping the sword with two hands and swinging from head to toe multiple times, making contact with the victim. Police said Walker then left his sword at the scene before running away. He was located shortly after at Keanu O Drive near Horbon Lane. The officer observed Walker sweating profusely with blood spatter on his sneakers. According to court documents, the victim used his hands to block himself, resulting in his left hand being completely severed from the wrist. His right hand was also mutilated. In addition, he suffered deep cuts to the right side of his abdomen, which caused possible damage to vital organs. The victim was transported to Queens Medical Center in critical condition. His condition has not been updated by medical professionals at this time. The sword recovered at the scene had 3 to 4 foot long metal blade covered in blood with a wood-like handle. It was located on the ground behind the dumpster near the store's back door. Police said 5 witnesses were interviewed at the scene and all of them positively identified Walker as the suspect. KHON2 also spoke with witnesses for more of their accounts. This is what the hell? I was hoping to hear the words drugs were involved, but I don't know that they were.
Like, you're the employee getting paid maybe $12 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the guy maybe was going to steal from you. What is it that he did that was so horrific that, like, you're working this $12 an hour job. If you're going to steal, it's like, hey, I'm going to make a report at the end of the shift. They tell you you can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want any employee risking their life over anything. Chasing down a shoplifter or anything like that. So what made him so angry at this person? And did it say, did they know each other before or was it just a customer?
It seems like it was a customer. Sounded
just like a customer.
Like a customer that he had an interaction with inside the store and then he confronted him outside of the store.
And in the meantime, he's like, I'm going to go get my sword. And who even has a sword?
Who's bringing the sword to work to begin with? Yeah.
Like, I got to go talk to that guy. Wait a minute. With my sword.
Yeah. Don't really know what to make of it.
You got that sword back there for a reason.
Break, in case of emergency, break glass to grab the sword. We all know that that's part of 7-Eleven.
Exactly. That's their policy.
That same day, Harper had her first Slurpee, and she was thrilled. So we, on the other island, had a very pleasant experience at the 7-Eleven.
Good.
We picked up a whole bunch of snacks. They have all sorts of interesting snacks from the islands and other countries, and we all kind of, you know, enjoyed that one of the nights. So there you go.
I just think we could have witnessed this sword.
I know.
But instead, you got your first Slurpee.
I could have got some good video for TMZ or something. That would have been exciting. That's creepy.
That's sad.
Let's check out this. This is the retired cop shot by wife who accused him of molesting kids at her daycare. Now facing criminal charges. I'm on her side on this one. But here's how it went down. The story coming to us from Inside Edition. As soon as the page loads. Computers are acting really slow today in my house. I feel like they went on vacation. They're like, yeah, you went on vacation. Now we're on vacation.
You could blame it up on the dial-up, but...
Yeah, I mean, that is true. We are on a 14.4
modem.
Does
it kind of feel like dial-up today?
So yeah, here we go. Retired cop shot by a wife who accused him of molesting kids at her daycare. Now facing criminal charges. So... I can't say I blame
her. The cop is facing the charges or the...
Well, they both are facing charges now. Yeah, James Weems Jr. is currently hospitalized after his wife shot him last week, authorities said. A retired police officer shot by his wife last week now faces more than a dozen criminal charges, alleging he sexually abused children at his wife's daycare center, authorities said. Shanatri Williams or Weems rather, shot her husband Thursday in a luxury hotel in Washington, D.C., as the couple argued over accusations he had molested children in her care, police said. James Weems Jr., 57, was charged Tuesday with sexually abusing at least three children while working at a daycare facility, Baltimore County police said on Tuesday. He's currently hospitalized in D.C. for gunshot wounds and is awaiting extradition to Maryland, police said. Weems now faces charges including assault, sexual abuse of a minor, and displaying obscene material to a minor. Shanna Terry Weems was arrested Thursday after a standoff with police at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, authorities said. She acknowledged shooting her husband, telling an officer at the hotel room door, "Fuck him, he's a child molester," according to authorities. She has been charged with assault with intent to kill and assault with a dangerous weapon, police said. Her preliminary hearing is scheduled for Friday. Her lawyer, Joseph Fay, told the Baltimore Sun Tuesday that he and his co-counsel, Tony Garcia, are looking forward to providing Ms. Weems with a vigorous defense. Garcia said he wants the courts to consider that she's never been a person that's harmed anyone in her life and has dedicated herself to other people's children so that they can make a living. The couple had met at the hotel to discuss the child abuse allegations. Garcia, the situation escalated into the argument, and the woman fired her gun at her husband, stood up, and as he started to go towards her, the attorney said, "I think that this woman here was torn apart by guilt, that this was her very own husband, and by fear when he attacked her," Garcia said. "She's just in the swamp of fear and guilt at the moment. It was very clear that she did not want him to molest another child, not on her watch." Her husband retired from the Baltimore Police Department in 2005, authorities said. Baltimore County Police said detectives began investigating James Weems earlier this month after receiving reports of sexual abuse allegations. The Lil' Kiz Castle has been closed pending the investigation, authorities said. So there you go. That's the latest on him.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know. There's a whole lot of this story. We don't know why she thought this or if she walked in on him or if there was video. Because I know here there was a daycare at, I probably shouldn't say where, although it was publicized at the YMCA.
Really?
And there was video. There was video. And it shows, I don't remember exactly what it showed. I don't think it showed the exact molestation, but you see him taking a little girl into a bathroom or something like that.
Oh, God.
And so there could have been videos in there, and she saw it on video. She might have walked in on it.
Who did, the
and
mom?
I could see how someone would lose their shit.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit.
If I found the person,
daycare,
they'd be dead.
I would assume that there's some kind of evidence that she has to go to that kind of extreme.
Yeah, I would. I would think so. But I mean, she also said that he lunged at her. So I don't know if you just found this out and then he's coming at you. I'd be pulling the gun too, probably, even, you know.
And I find that very believable. If he was molesting these kids and she confronted him on it,
yeah,
that's the last thing you want anybody to know that you're doing.
Yeah, and if she's the one that
could.
She's
got a gun in her hand, now you're feeling threatened.
Yeah.
Totally could see him lunging at her.
Yeah.
But, man, I would lose my shit.
Completely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing where it's like, the police better get there before I do, if I were to find that out of somebody, because that's the only thing that will protect them. This is not me not being able to get to them, because that would not end well.
Horrible.
Let's go to another student jailed for 38 years for random stabbing spree murder. This is interesting. This is one we were kind of talking about earlier, where it seems kind of Grand Theft Auto-ish, of like, what the hell is wrong with you? So here's the story. A student has been jailed for life for stabbing a man to death and injuring two others during a random spree of knife attacks in London. This from Sky News. Amini Lowar was told he would serve at least 38 years in prison for the murder of Leon Street in January of last year. The 21-year-old was handed consecutive sentences for two more assaults on strangers in the space of 6 days. Mr. Street left his home to go to the shops in Nesden in North London about 9:30 p.m. when he was stabbed repeatedly, the Old Bailey heard. The 48-year-old, who had a partner and children, suffered from 5 stab wounds to his chest, as well as injuries to his hands and legs. Despite efforts from paramedics to save his life, the former delivery driver was pronounced dead 1 hour later. Oh. Sentencing lawyer Judge Martin Pitcoin said, "Your attack on Mr. Street was brutal and remorseless. Even a passing motorist sounded their horn could not distract you from the act of repeatedly stabbing your victim. Minutes before the attack on Mr. Street, another man was stabbed only 150 meters away on Nesden Lane North. The 21-year-old defendant ran up behind Marvin Kahn and stabbed him in the back, penetrating his lung. Mr. Kahn was very fortunate to have survived," the court heard. Third man, Mitchell Cariani, was stabbed 6 days later on the 17th of January of last year. Mr. Cariani had gone out to buy breakfast and was passing the exact same spot where Mr. Kahn was attacked. He was also stabbed in the back, the court heard. He was also very lucky to survive after suffering from broken ribs and a punctured lung. Prosecutors Bill Elsom Jones, QC, said, "In each case, the victim appears to have been chosen completely at random. The victims did not know each other. They were not connected to each other in any way." He added, "The only thing they appear to have in common is that they happened to be walking along the same stretch of Nesden Lane North at the same time when they were attacked." Lauer, who's lived nearby, denied murdering Mr. Street, wounding Mr. Kahn with intent, and an attempt to murder of Mr. Cariana. He was defended by DNA evidence, but giving evidence, the defendant claimed he had been framed by the real killer and the prosecution, and they had been prosecuting the wrong man. Not a whole lot on that story as to whether what evidence they have that points to that.
What prompts someone to just go, "I'm going to take this knife and just go find someone to stab him"? Like, why would you do that? I don't know. All the stories we talk about here, I'm like, why would anybody do that?
Just utter lack of empathy for others, extreme narcissism,
anger, drugs,
and lack of ability to cope. That's another thing that our young people are missing incredibly, is the ability to cope with anything. Because some can certainly, that have been through rough shit. There are plenty that can. But there's also plenty that were just too fucking coddled. And now the second somebody looks at them the wrong way or makes them feel slightly off, oh my gosh, that person should suffer. It's like, I'm sorry, kids, it's not my job to appease your disorders or your snowflakeness or whatever you want to call that you have going on, that you're going to be offended by anything and everything on this planet. That's your job to get under control, because the rest of the world's not going to fucking conform, and nor should it. It's just people are set off, I think, in such extreme ways because there's no gray area anymore. It's like 0 to 100.
And, you know, today I read an article about the Parkland shooter.
Yeah.
Because he's, and this is horrible, because I was like, Parkland now, which one was that? Isn't that horrible?
I know.
But he's in trial right now.
Okay. And
there was all kinds of indicators. All kinds of them. It wasn't like he was living in a little bubble and didn't tell anybody. He had all kinds of comments and things he'd done online. And I guess people just, you know, because you see, it's like all the time people will say horrible things online. It's mean. It's hateful. You know, there was an issue here at Wichita State with basketball players and a coach getting fired. And they went to these basketball players like, "What do you know? Mm-hmm. What did you know?" And they told them. And then they were getting death threats. And so you're like, oh, it's just online. Or is it? You know, is that the person like this who's going to go do something crazier, like this Parkland shooter guy?
Exactly.
You know, but it happens so much these days that we're like, oh, it's just some horrible troll online. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. That's the thing.
But the Parkland shooter, like that, it would, they said hundreds of searches and comments and things months before the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have definitely seen it coming.
Didn't see that coming. We didn't think you would do it. We didn't think, like, bullshit. I in cases like this, I think the parents should be prosecuted as well.
And I do think that there's some parents in these situations. Some of them, I think, you know, go buy your kid a gun, for example.
Oh, yeah. Look at this situation by situation. But
yeah. But I do think there's some parents who have been really frustrated because they can't find, they know there's something wrong with their kid.
Yeah.
And they can't get help. And what do you do with that kid?
Well,
you know, if he hasn't committed a crime yet.
Well, and also then, after a certain age, I don't know, like 10 or something, you can't force them to get therapy or anything like that. Like you can't force it.
They could make them go sit there, but if they don't talk, they don't talk.
They don't talk. And actually they have the right to refuse a service from a medical professional at a certain age.
And if there's been no crime or no.
Yeah.
You know, so I just don't know how you get these people help.
No, I mean, the system is actually very much built to the person who is suffering to make all the choices, which is really the last person that should be making all the choices in situations like that when there's something wrong with them. But that's not how we do things here. So, yeah, it's insane. It's utterly fucking insane. Cable company ordered to pay victim's family $7 billion. With a B.
What the hell happened?
After a worker killed her in her home. This is,
oh my God.
I gotta say, I don't know. Let's read the story. In December of 2019, Roy Holden Jr. carried out some work for Spectrum Cable at the home of 83-year-old Betty Thomas in Irving, Texas. This story, by the way, from Unilad. Next day, while off duty, he returned and stabbed her to death. He then stole her credit card and went shopping before he was apprehended by police. Holden pled guilty to murder and is currently serving a life sentence. This week, a Dallas County jury found Spectrum Cable or Charter Communications to have 90% of the blame for civil liabilities. The jury awarded the family $7 billion in punitive damages after already awarding them $357 million in compensatory damages last month. So do you think this judge just really hates cable? Like he like was scorned by Spectrum and he's like, here's my ultimate, you know, fuck you, $7 billion.
It could be, but it makes me think that there was some negligence, like severe negligence on their part. And it's like, we're going to make it so beyond anything you could afford. I mean, like they'll get paid at $8 billion, but there must be something that was like they knew in a background check.
No. Speaking after the trial, Thomas's family lawyer, Chris Hamilton, said in a statement, "This was a shocking breach of faith by a company that sends workers inside millions of homes every year. The verdict justly reflects the extensive evidence regarding the nature of the harm caused by Charter Spectrum's gross negligence and reckless misconduct. For the safety of the American public, we can only hope that Charter Spectrum and its shareholders are listening." Charter has said it plans to appeal the verdict, saying all the blame for the killing lies with Holden. In a statement, the company said, "Our hearts go out to Ms. Thomas's family in the wake of the senseless, tragic crime. The responsibility for this horrible act rests solely with Mr. Holden, who is not on duty, and we are grateful he is in prison for life. While we respect the jury and the justice system, we strongly disagree with the verdict. The company claims the murder was not foreseeable and that relevant background checks were made." A news release from the company read, "The law in Texas and the facts presented at the trial clearly show this crime was not foreseeable, and the plaintiff's crimes of wrongdoing by Charter are categorically false. We're committed to the safety of all our customers and took the necessary steps, including a thorough pre-employment criminal background check, which showed no arrest, convictions, or other criminal behavior. Nor did anything Mr. Holden's performance after he was hired suggest he was capable of a crime he committed, including more than 1,000 completed service calls with zero customer complaints about his behavior." I'm on Charter's side. This just seems like a money grab.
1,000?
Yeah.
You know, the reality of it is, though, he went out there. There was a service call made. He went back.
Yeah. So should there be something?
I
sure.
I thought they would have tried to settle it out of court or something because he was your employee. You sent him into her home. She's dead.
Yeah.
You know, so to say that they have nothing at all to do with it, I don't totally buy because he was their employee. Now, he did go back to her home, because he was in there working the day before. Could they have seen that coming? No, I don't think so.
No.
But if I am driving a company car and I get in a wreck, like, it's the company car.
Sure.
They're gonna, you know, they might come after me personally. I was driving. I might have some repercussions from it, but so will the company.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's some amount of responsibility there, but it's not like
it's not $8 billion.
It's like they hired weird. A criminal off the street that had a track record. Like, sure, you want to go down that road. If you did that, you may be liable for more. But $8 billion just seems utterly insane.
Well, what the hell for someone to have gone out on hundreds of calls or thousands, well, and, whatever and they what said, are we, and then he snapped.
And what are we learning here? What is Charter? Nothing. I mean, they do background checks. They do that sort of stuff. There are crazy fucking people out there that you can't predict what the hell they're going to do. And it mean, if I were the company, I would have said I did my due diligence too, because it really 1,000 calls, no, nothing on the record, no complaints. Yeah. I mean, how would you foresee something like that happening? You can't.
You know, but when I moved into this house, and then you have to have, you know, all the service guys come over.
Yeah.
And there's service guy for this, service guy for that. And then things start breaking and I don't know how to fix stuff. So I got to call a handyman for this, handyman for that. And there was more than one time I'm like, I'm not 100% comfortable.
Sure.
With having a guy in my house I don't know. It's just me and him. Mm-hmm. And there was some, I'm like, it was very, you could tell, like, they've got certain training. You know, they can't sit on the sofa, for example, or, you know, it was like, there was sometimes it, you know, you could tell that how they're trained how to act.
Sure.
But it still made, it was just still kind of weird. Not that I felt threatened, but it was just like, that's how this shit can happen.
Oh, sure. But I mean, statistically, it does happen without a doubt. There's stories of it.
Obviously.
But what, how many in what is it actually happening? Is it like one in 1 million? Is it, I mean, anything in life is going to be a calculated risk. So yes, having a repair person come and fix something, yes, there's a risk that it could be a crazy motherfucker. But
well, and the other thing is that you don't know whose home you're going into. So there's a two-way thing there.
There is. I mean, I honestly, I would imagine that the repair people have been out to thousands of homes, probably have far more horror stories than we do of someone coming into our home.
If you were talking to someone on the phone about them having a problem, they're going to scream at you, let alone being in their house.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it is there a chance something could happen? Of course. Yes. But again, it's the odds of life that sometimes if you'd like to live a normal life, you have to play the odds of life.
But like, it makes me think that there's something that happened in that trial that the judge was pissed off about.
Yeah, he got like double billed or something.
I don't know. There's HBO, something.
You didn't cancel my HBO because of that $8
billion. And what happened is horrific.
Yeah.
Like, it is horrific, but that almost makes some kind of weird, like, it makes it like, okay, you awarded $8 billion. That's never going to happen. Like, why not award something they'll actually pay up and we can all move on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, $8 billion, that's just going to be in appeals forever.
Well, what's that? What are the, again, I'm going and saying, what are we teaching anybody here? Like, the company said, we'll do stricter background checks now, but it's not like we didn't do them to begin with at probably the highest level they could.
Right.
I mean, you outsource background checks. It's usually not the company itself that does it. You go to a security firm that does those sort of things. So, and again, no matter what background you check you did on the guy, it would come up with the same shit if he has no criminal history. So you're not, I don't know. It's just like, if there was gross misconduct or just really stupid things going on there, sure, make a point, make an example of it. But if there's nothing, it was just some jackass, then it is what it is. It's sad, but...
But he was representing them, so I could see there being some kind of settlement. I could
completely,
see that.
Completely. It just, no, I don't know. I think by the end of the day, what's going to happen is they should have gone for the settlement, and they'll get absolutely nothing because this shit will get thrown out of court.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no, so can we get the settlement now? No. It's done. You missed your chance. Sorry. The $357 million wasn't enough for you. But I mean, horrible. But
it makes me think that the family wasn't going after $8 billion.
I don't know. I mean, what, they already got awarded $357 million. What are we still going after here at this point?
I don't know. More to this one.
Yeah,
we need to keep. Remember to come back, circle back, and look into this one.
All right. Well, we will definitely do that. That's going to wrap up today's episode of True Crime Today. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any episodes of the program.
True Crime Today. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our full episodes, breaking news updates, and daily briefs from True Crime Today.